appreciate you being here. We are fortunate today to have some of the brass with us, which we appreciate always, their support and help. And we've got Scott Smith here, who's chairman and director of the State Tax Commission. Thank you for all you do for us.
And, thank you.
Welcome here today. And of course, John, no one knows where did John go. We appreciate John all he does and as our commissioner, and how always continue to do things for years for us. So get started. We've got a little few things going on this morning. We're waiting for some people, but why don't we look at the minutes? I'd like to see if anybody's had a chance to read the minutes of our last meetings. And if so, if we can have someone approve those minutes.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the minutes as written for the previous meeting.
Okay, we have a first, we have a second.
I'll second that.
And a second, thank you very much. As for John to swear, are we able to do that right now?
We are going to do it remotely because he is in Nebraska.
Really?
Acquiring whatever. He is doing some acquiring.
Is he?
And he's going to join us shortly by remote, and Commissioner Valentine will swear him in remotely. So yes, we can go to the next item and then come back, or if people that want to speak publicly want to speak, we can come back to you or whatever you want, whatever you prefer.
Okay, so we can keep things going while we just tell us when we need to insert that. But we'll talk about comments, public comments, for members of the public who are wishing to address any issues that should be before the advisory board here today. Are there any people here that would like to do so? Please.
If you just step up to a mic and then announce your name, because we are recording.
Okay. Thank you for coming. Appreciate it. Do you have to push this button?
No.
I think right here.
No,
no, no. On that one. Okay.
So, Mr. Commissioner,
speak into that mic a little bit more so everyone can hear you. Some behind you. Thank you.
I think it is on. It shows it's moving.
Yeah.
I can speak louder, though.
Yeah. Please. That'd be good.
So I just wanted to speak on the topic of that. And as I read it, it is being proposed that it would be a grant process. And I'm not sure exactly what that means, if there would be one education provider or if there would be multiple grants that are awarded to it. And if there's only one grant and only one provider, I object to that. I think that there is a lot of benefit to having competition. Economic theory supports that the quality of products, including education, are better with more competition. However, if you do go about one grant process, I know that there are some benefits to it. I would have some questions about how you will decide if this is qualified and we can get more information on that, and perhaps more reasons as to why you're going about the grant process. I know as a educator, we are more recent, but we do have a long history of providing education for state agencies, and we just haven't received any feedback on the education process. So it is coming about a little bit as a surprise to us.
I'm Alan Sheen from the division. I'd comment first. First and foremost, my big bosses are here, so I'm going to be politically correct. The Tax Commission's position on this is we are not sponsoring any bill or neutral on anything that is presented. And as a matter of record, we have not seen an official proposal. I think you sent me one, or someone, Sonia did actually. And that is the only version I've actually seen. And unless someone else has a comment, we're neutral. We're not sponsoring anything.
I do appreciate the fact of education. We all need to be educated, and we all need to be able to communicate. So those two factors are important. I think that we need to, at least in my case, we need to know more about this and how we can support things that are good for the whole situation. I'm just not privy to that, and as he seems to me we need some education, and maybe you can help us with that, or see to us to get the right thing out, so that we understand it's appropriate as a group. All right?
Mr. Chairman, can I ask a follow-up question? What does the process look like for an educator at this point? What kind of process did you go through to become qualified?
Right, so the process right now is you submit your curriculum, and someone at UB approves it. I'm not exactly sure who does that.
So I am the one that approves it.
Nice. Lucky you.
Got the right people here.
Yeah, and then once it's been approved, then they give you the AOK. And then once people go through the education, you go online to the portal, and you submit that information, so everyone knows that.
And just for curiosity, about how many dealers would you service on a typical year?
I think we've only been doing it for 2 seasons now. So, and I'm not exactly sure how many.
That's no problem. And do you know approximately how many competitors there are in this space, about how many people are providing this service?
I believe there are 5.
Okay.
That sounds right to me.
Are you working with new and used car dealers, both?
No, it is just used.
Just used?
Yes. Okay. That might be new and used. I provide education for a few state agencies, so I apologize if that's incorrect. Perhaps I can answer that. Is it new and used?
Yes.
Correct.
Excuse me? No, that's not accurate. New has to go through training as well. Correct. Oh, yeah. And myself, as the division director, I travel around with the new dealers, and I go with anyone that requests that I go to provide any insight on clarifications on licensing issues to current trends in the industry. I do that, and I've done so several times. So I think one thing to be noted on this is we have not seen any formal proposals. Nothing's been drafted. I haven't received any information otherwise. And as far as MVD is concerned, we are business as usual, and we intend to relicense everyone for renewals and training or whatever purposes as scheduled.
Do you think it would be good for her to coordinate with Wayne and with you?
Well, my question is I know in concept, Wayne and I have been through a little bit, but I've not seen, is there a draft out?
Not that I'm aware of. I haven't seen anything. This is all news to me.
Yeah, I haven't seen a draft either. I don't.
Right. I just saw that it was proposed in the dealer title recovery fund proposal. So I just wanted to start a conversation about how dealers aren't being educated.
Alan, do you think it would be appropriate for her to get with these two gentlemen?
I do. I think that would be my recommendation. The course of action is, I'm open to meet with you anytime if you have any questions to come in or whatever you need to make you feel at ease, that can be accomplished.
Okay. Great. And then these two gentlemen, right here, Wayne behind you. With the glasses. Right. You've met?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and then here to your right would be a good place to start. Okay? Thank you again for coming. We appreciate you, and thanks for trying to help us, educate us.
I will give you my card before you leave. You're welcome to stay the whole time if you're more than welcome.
Should I go to the next issue, or are you ready?
Is he on?
Oh, please, excuse me. I'm sorry, I didn't see that.
No, you're fine. I'm Brian Asher. I work for also SAM Dealer Education. So I run the site Motor Vehicle Education, MVED.org. Been around for a while doing dealer courses. We provide a new dealer 8-hour and a renewing 3-hour course. And so the stuff she was talking about is the dealer title recovery fund that was probably spoken at the last meeting. And the section she was trying to reference is there's a section on dealer education talking about that the grant would be applied to new car dealers association, the used car dealers association, and the Utah RV dealers association to develop a new course. And I'm all for education being, you know, and it's specifically talking about curriculum to get standardized. And all four curriculum getting standardized education is super important. We want the right education to be going, the right information to be going out to new dealers, and to be updating current dealers about what's any changes that are going on. And so, but from what I understand and how I'm reading, and again, this is very preliminary, I understand, so we're trying to do a soft touch here, just to try to keep people educated, is that the grant was going to be going to the associations to develop the curriculum. And I'll mention all fine with new curriculum, probably just be more interested in being a third party, independent development of that course, or the course to be developed by the state, would be kind of our preference. Or a discussion of why we're going to the associations to be developed. So that would be it. I'm happy to take any questions there.
All these questions. So would your concern be more in the development of the curriculum or in the opportunity to be able to teach the curriculum on an ongoing basis year after year?
Well, it sounds like it's still the same. I mean, from this initial draft of this doc, that it would still be the same and be approved by the state for continued education. So that doesn't seem to be really anything that would change. Just who would be the ones that are developing the courses that would be independent and not associated with associations.
And so is your concern more about the quality of the coursework or more about the control of the dollars?
Not necessarily control of the coursework. I would assume either the state or the independent council could put together a good curriculum. More of just fair business practices. Mm-hmm. Is the associations and the associations of those associations with competing education providers. Mm-hmm.
So to allow for competition in this?
Yeah, absolutely. That is just working. Even playing field. Yeah. So where the education is coming from and how the approval process and that there's just not an advantage over from one educator to another, like we want any business, that every business is on the same playing field. Obviously the advantages should come from business practices, not from government. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, anything else? Any other comments?
I think it's important as I have traveled the state and met with new and used dealers alike. I think the common theory that we hear amongst dealers that are having struggles, and I'm saying there's different kinds of struggles obviously in the industry where you have financial struggles and where they cross over to criminal struggles, is they don't want to be culpable and admit or acknowledge wrongdoing, so they blame it on their trainers. I'll make this perfectly clear. I've been here 21 years and I've never validated that claim one time. There's never been an incident where it's been actually bad information or no information provided by the legal requirements of being licensed. So that's kind of, I hear that thrown out a lot, and I know that it was tossed around a little bit in the last board meeting. I'm just here to assure you, as an investigator, that's not accurate.
Appreciate you being here with us.
Thanks for the time.
So you say the grant says that it's going to be to the associations to develop the curriculum,
yeah.
Not necessarily for the education.
Say that again?
Well, so the associations are going to develop the curriculum, but what you're concerned about is having the opportunity to teach it.
No, I'm also concerned about who's developing the course. Because the associations are typically, the most associations that are listed here are also associated with competing education providers.
Okay.
Does that make sense? And so if the person that is developing the course, even though they're associated, that are in that association, are also providing the education, that does give a unfair competitive advantage on the business aspect. In my opinion.
In what ways?
Time frame. I mean, it's always time to market, right?
Okay.
So a new course to develop and to produce, even if the course material is being provided, to then get it to change to either a teaching process or an online process takes time. Mm-hmm. And there's that time frame between that and execution that takes time to make sure that there's a competing offer. And if the same people that are developing the course are also the ones that are educating and running those education courses, there'd be a competitive advantage on that course.
I think one thing needs to be clear, that I think there's some confusion here, because first off, the training part requirements to be licensed are not intended to change. That's done by legislation, and there's requirements in rules and statutes that clearly depict what you're expected to do. We're talking about preventing violations. So, and that could be acquired through our website, calling an investigator on our officer of the day, or calling myself or anyone of my administrative staff anytime. So I don't think any of that's been, I'm not aware of any changes to those practices at all.
To the curriculum?
Nothing. Nothing that we're talking about, I'm not aware of any changes that are.
Yeah, it was just from the documents that were provided from the last meeting, saying that, you know, that this was something to be talked about. So again, not sure how far along this is going, but obviously that's why we're here, right? Talking about something.
Definitely.
Going through. So yeah, no, this is a light touch on our part, just to figure out what it is, make sure everybody understands the repercussions from what might go into. The state has been amazing. They're very good and responsive for the educators. We provide curriculum to them. They turn around quick and respond to us and say, hey, this is approved, and go ahead and continue with the education process. We can talk to them and work out any issues if anything happens along the way for those renewal processes. So the state, I understand that nothing's changed in the state. I just see a proposed change here, and so we'll bring up and discuss it.
Great.
So.
Thank you
very much. Thank you. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Are you ready for the swearing in?
I believe we are.
I didn't see you.
I'm waiting for some Carlos sitting behind.
Well, I keep thinking we're never come on the camera here.
I'll be very brief. Wayne Johnson, Used Car Dealers Association. It's interesting how sometimes the pot gets stirred. This was based on information that was presented to the advisory board as discussion items. Since that meeting, 2 months ago, whatever it's been, there's been a dramatic change in the direction of what we're doing, what we're looking to do, where we're going. I always encourage more dialogue as it relates to education, and sometimes it's good to put stuff out there to get, make sure we can get input from everybody on that. One of the things that we, from an association standpoint, are committed to, and that's quality education, make sure the right information is getting out, it's complete, and people aren't just paying money to get a certificate without going through that. Those are some of the concerns that we have had and seen. This proposal was based on actually a much, much larger, bigger picture, which that process has changed immensely from the last version. So that helps put at ease the other educators that they're not going to be taken out of this loop through misinformation or whatever. That's not what our intent is. I would encourage anybody who does education to get together with me and create it. Any other group that wants to get together, because the more we can discuss it, the better that situation will be for everyone. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Are we ready for the
swearing in? He just lost our connection again.
Oh, did you?
Well, so he's really in a remote place. I just texted him.
Technology.
I'll go to our next item here.
Okay.
I failed to introduce John Watson, because I think everybody knows John. In fact, he is the real chairman. I'm just here as a temporary to help John, and while he's away on better things in life. So we appreciate you being here, John, and I think we'd like to spend a minute to honor him. Is that right, Alan?
Yes. Mr. Watson, come ahead and stand up here. First and foremost, I extremely want to thank Wayne Jones and Craig Bickmore from the Use the New Associations with certain parameters that we have with government use or waste. I call it government waste. There's certain things that we're allowed not to do anymore, and this is one of the events. But we have traditions at MVD that we've stood behind for way before my time, and hopefully we'll continue them. But we would like to take this time to thank John Watson for his service as our chair of our board, and for his service that he did. And I think there's a lot of things that I'm glad Commissioner Valentine and my boss Scott Smith are here, because I think maybe there's some enlightenment that could come here that they will understand of how important it is to keep this board intact, because we did, as Commissioner Valentine will attest to, had to fight to keep the board in place. And I don't believe that's even an issue anymore, because I think we were able to overcome that, but I don't know. So I think we need to move forward in a positive way and pick the right people and be aware of other people's concerns that are part of the industry as well. And I always remember what Larry Miller said once when I was a young guy, and that was a long time ago, and I was shockingly impressed that he fought for small dealers and people that weren't at his level, and he talked about moving up and providing opportunities. I think that's what MVDS wants to stand for, what we want to do and accomplish. And I am sworn to do that and do the best that I can. John was actually beneficial to me as a new director coming in, because I have lots of ideas, and you pull me aside and say, son, you can't do that. You have to be wiser and smarter, and this is what you have to do. And I'm looking at him like, yeah, whatever. And then I started learning and thinking, yeah, there's some truth to this. And I think the important lesson over 5 years of doing this has been, is what we've learned has made us efficient for the times that we're facing right now. Does that make any sense? Because it's true. I mean, we're facing DMV issues at monumental proportions right now. We still have California that's telling us they're 18 months behind. We have Nevada that's still 7 months behind. They just barely started processing requests from July 1st. I mean, this is serious issues. Our state, I will adequately support Governor Cox and everything he's done, because we are doing it, frankly, better than anybody else right now. I guarantee you that with these two men right here, we have been commissioned to be recklessly good. Does that sound good? I like it. I took my picture with that. I am swearing to that. So I want you to know that as MVD, we have the green light to listen and fix issues. If it makes sense, we will do it. If we can't, we can't. Hopefully you'll understand that, because it really comes down to that. We're all in this together. New, used, trainers, everybody's in this together. John has been a significant part of the success of the MVD and the direction that we're going, as is all of our board members that we pick. Everyone is here to encompass that plan moving forward, and I so greatly appreciate each and every one of you. It has been way nice to face these unprecedented trials and be able to reach out to people that are respected in their craft and being able to make a resolution. Because I can ponder things all day long. Sometimes we have to act swiftly and fix a problem. So that being said, Mr. Watson, MVD, with the assistance of the associations, would like to present you this plaque. Now, these plaques are obviously earned, and this is a big deal. So this is a photo op. Who's taking the picture?
Where are we doing it? Over here?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay.
That is a cool.
We're very proud of these. So,
thank you.
Every board member after service will continue to get these, thanks to Wayne and Craig, and we're very proud of them. So, congratulations.
I'll only take a short time, okay? Commissioner, I'm glad you are here, because I remember when he swore me in, and I consider this a great, great assignment in life. And it's because it helps the auto industry as a whole. And we're good tax collectors and do good things for the state of Utah. I had to nudge Craig just for a moment over there as we were having comments, and he says, hey, you're out of here, man. You're not on that around this table. I still have a fire in my belly for what you do. There's not been anyone like Alan Shitting. He calls, he communicates, he's in your store, he'll do what is needed, and so are his officers. And it's a remarkable thing. I hope they always keep this board together, because we help from all levels, the biggest dealers in the state to the smallest, from used to RV, and we just continue to have good people around us. So this is an honor to have, and it will be hung in a spot that it will mean a great deal for me. And I encourage those that are still on this board. They're great, great people. And I hope that you'll listen as the public comes in. It's important because you have people that listen to you and then will determine how things go forward. And that's why this board is here. So thank you very much. I will honor this and appreciate it. And I love the time I spent here.
Thank you.
We asked John to hang around, but while you're sitting, you ready to move right now?
John, Mr. Weiss, can you hear us? Okay, we're going to have Commissioner John Valentine swear you in. So I would ask that you do the traditional raise your hand and follow after him the best you can. If you can't hear him, then let us know.
Can you hear me okay? Try to hear. Can you hear me okay now? Okay, please raise your right hand.
Yep.
Repeat after me and say your name or after the word I.
I, John Weiss,
do solemnly swear or affirm, that I will support, obey and defend the Constitution of the United States,
the Constitution of the United States,
and the Constitution of the State of Utah,
and the Constitution of the State of Utah,
and that I will discharge,
and that I will discharge
the duties of my office with fidelity.
The duties of my office with fidelity.
Congratulations.
John, we will provide you minutes. You're welcome to stay on as long as you can, as long as you have a signal. But we do appreciate you're willing to serve the board and help us out. Your service will be greatly appreciated.
Well, thank you, and I look forward to meeting the ones that I have. Thank you.
Congratulations, John, and John, thank you as well.
You bet.
I'm just going to go back for a second to speak to the issue with John Watson. As you know, John Watson is a giant in our industry. We talked about that because John Valentine read what the duties are. I thought he exemplified. John Watson is exemplary of all those items that were discussed in his role as a leader here. As a role as a leader in his community in Ogden, in his church, you know, the things of value to him, especially in our industry as well. So, John, we can't thank you enough. You mean a great deal to us. We're not going to be the same without you here. So, thanks again for all you do and have done.
Thank you, sir.
We love you and appreciate you. You're the best.
You know what? I have to say this. It seems like just yesterday's story.
Where does time go? I think I was 50 and I'm 70.
I think my hair was a different color than too.
The problem is you've aged too, John. That's both Johns, huh? So, going down this, you want me to skip this announcement part and just go to the legislative matters?
Sure.
Okay, legislative matters. Anything that we want to discuss here about the issues that we should talk about?
The only thing that I'm aware of that's legislatively out there right now is safety inspection. I know it gets brought up, and I have told the law enforcement bulletins, I have not seen anything drafted yet. I have told them several times that the dealers are never contested safety inspection, and that they would support safety inspection, but I have not seen anything that has, I believe something's coming, but I have not seen anything officially yet.
And boy, it's a crying shame. The stuff that I see that goes out, it should be inspected because it's just the safety hazard.
I think there was an industry, we have to be careful how we say that, because just so you know, the consensus has been this is a dealership problem, and it is not a dealership problem. I have stood behind the statement that dealers sell safe cars, and they still sell safe cars because I believe most of the dealers still inspect their cars and care about what they sell to the public. So that is really something that's an underlying effect out there, that dealers are selling unsafe cars. And I believe Wayne will support that statement, and so will Craig. The industry has adamantly supported safety inspection the way that was in place. We didn't support it going away, and we'll welcome any changes. That's what I told us.
There is, Scott Smith, there is a bill that will be presented at interim that's on the interim transportation agenda. That will be for funding an attorney general position to prosecute criminal offenses. And the tax commission is neutral on that, but that bill, I think they want to make it a committee bill tomorrow afternoon.
Great. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, let me add a couple additional comments on that. John Donaldson, Chairman of the Tax Commission.
The bill is a consolidated bill that is for transportation. It has a lot of things in it, but buried deep in it is this provision for the funding of an Attorney General Office member. That person will be dedicated to prosecution of cases. It will not be a tax commission employee, nor will that person be an advisor to the tax commission. It's that for that reason, the commission will probably just take a neutral position on the bill, even though we really think that that really has some real merit to it, to have someone that Alan can take prosecutions to. Right now, as you may or may not know, we have difficulties getting prosecutors in the various different counties where we have to take them to prosecute cases, even though the evidence has been well developed and it is pretty clear that there's been a criminal violation. So we think that having a member of the Attorney General staff specifically devoted to that responsibility would be very helpful for everybody, including the dealers, both used and new car dealers.
And also Alan Schoening from the division. I think it's very important to understand that MVD has both criminal cases and administrative cases. This employee will not have anything to do with the administrative side. We will still proceed in the way that we've done. I'm talking about advertising violations and other issues like that. This is strictly for criminal issues. And the exciting thing is, like Commissioner Valentine said perfectly, is we have had difficulties in specific counties on, because it's a contractual issue, that it's civil. That's not the case. Trust me, this is a monumental game changer that Craig, Wayne, and all the above have worked really hard. Everyone that's been part of this board since 2008 has known this has been a topic of discussion for a long time, and there's finally a light at the end of the tunnel, and I really think moving forward, this is going to change our division significantly. We are committed to getting better, and this is a way for us to get better, whether it's following a federal practicum where we have less investigators and people processing cases and we channel them to a prosecutor. This is modern. It is 2021, and we're on the verge of doing some good things that are going to help the industry big time. So I'm very grateful.
I know you've needed that assistance. That would be wonderful. That's terrific. Anything else? Wayne?
Wayne Jones, Used Car Dealer Association. Just a couple things I thought, because this is just, we're 63 days away from the opening of the session, if you can believe that. And so obviously we try to prepare as much ahead as possible, so we're watching legislation that's coming. A couple of things that have happened during interim meetings are those that happen during the summertime and so forth. Just from a franchise point of view, there was a reauthorization of the Power Sport Franchise Act, which is very parallel to what the New Car Franchise Act is for new car dealers and RV dealers. And one of the things that came out of that I thought you ought to know is that in 10 years, has a 10-year reauthorization, which they're doing this year. And that reauthorization, when the director of the division spoke to this, there were only like three instances where they had an advisory board meeting needed. And I think, and he talked about how well the franchise law worked. And I think that goes to the work that's been done on the franchise law, for the new car and RV dealers, as well as the power sport, that this is something that really works. I know we've had some legislators who, you know, want just to let things happen as they may, but I thought it was a good testimony to the issue of that this is something that really works, that the government is helping with. The other thing that I had a conversation with a couple months ago with Representative Thurston is on the specialty plates that this committee has had, or this board has had a number of discussions on that. My understanding from listening to him was there was some court cases on specialty plates and the vanity plates, and apparently from what he told me, there may be a need to end or allow any kind of specialty plate, whatever that is. So that is actually an inner meeting tomorrow. Maybe Scott can talk to that, but talking with Representative Thurston, there were some things happening with the specialty plates. And I think as that progresses, I think between our industries, we can actually implement some things there that will take some of the costs and put more responsibility on the specialty groups that are out there to work with the tax commission to have some of those things happen easier and more efficiently.
The bill is out there. It came out about 2 hours ago.
Yes.
What it does is it puts a moratorium on the personalized plate. Wayne mentioned there was a Supreme Court decision depending on how you interpret it, it could open up what can be put on a plate it kind of takes away the is this offensive or not offensive, and so there's a lot of things that I personally don't want in a plate, this puts just a moratorium and says that everyone that currently has a plate can keep theirs, but we're not going to issue any new ones.
My understanding was that was going to be on the specialty plates where you want to put your own letters and numbers together. My understanding is they were still going to continue the university plates and those special group plates, if you will, because there's different categories of these special plates that are out there. So.
And that's correct. The specialty that would be for the
Boy Scout player, this list of 70 some odd organizations that are out there. Last couple of things are also in the interim. Craig and I talked about this. We were at the interim at the same meeting. Department of Commerce is reviewing under license reviews, looking at what proposed businesses and existing businesses and licensure under those. We want to make sure that motor vehicle stays out of the commerce side because they were looking at putting restrictions and so forth. And that's something we will also want to keep an eye on. The other thing that is coming up, other things we talk, my understanding is I know at least three safety inspection bills that are being proposed right now during green. We worked during the summer with Senator Main, who has and she had several meetings with all the stakeholders in that she is trying to put something together that's going to be a very political, volatile issue, I'm sure. There is also a vehicle emissions reduction program bill that represents Stenquist put together on older vehicles that can't pass emissions, and that there could be funding together to put money for a down payment if somebody can't afford to get that vehicle fixed to get into something else, whether it be new, used, or whatever. So I understand that's now in the chain of bills that are coming. And again, there's also more plates. We always have, half a dozen new specialty plates, and that's where we're discussing the issue of these specialty plates. Are we going to have a Pioneer plate, and are we going to have a Dark Skies plate, and how many more are we going to have? I got to build more new drawers in my title office because there's not new drawers to accommodate them all. And then there's also some things that probably need to be addressed, and we'll be having meetings with PMB and Allen's office on some mileage disclosure issues that have come up recently. We'll be having meetings with those, and if we need to do legislation, we'll be doing that. And last thing is there's also some national legislation that's coming down on privacy issues and so forth that we're watching. So that's kind of my impression of the legislative stuff.
Just a follow-up, because there's two different types of specialty plates. There's support plates. That's where the organization gets money. And there's plates that honor specific individuals or groups. Now, in the proposed bill, what it would do is it says that you're going to have two standard issue plates that recognize some rock formation or something that, you know, the Ski Utah and the Arches plate. Then you're going to have one that honors, a value that we have. I assume that's the In God We Trust plate. And they can be around forever, but at least 10 years. That's what the bill currently says. Then there's going to be a fourth category, and that one is going to be honors a specific group, and I think they want this to take the place of the recognition plate, not the support one, but the recognition plate, and it would be 5-year limit, and every 5 years we would get another plate that would recognize some other group. I think that's the direction that they want to go, is to do away with the honor one and limit it to one plate. But that wouldn't do. All of the current support plates would remain.
Mr. Chairman, just one last thing I was going to ask a question about, and that is, there's a pre-filed bill from Senator Fillmore on license plate manufacturing with the change of the prison. Is there any updates with that?
Yes, I can give you some updates on that. This is Chairman Valentine again. With the relocation of the prison, they've had to dismantle the equipment at the prison. The prison equipment made for license plate was custom made 60 years ago, and so there's no way that they could reinstall that equipment. As we looked at various different options, we decided that it would be best to follow the digital age and to actually engage in processes that are more current, and that equipment that is manufactured now, that if it breaks down, you can get replacement parts for. Literally, we would have to manufacture replacement parts for our license plate machines, and it was a long process. It required baking and a couple of multiple processes to issue a plate. We've got a manufacturer that has gone through the RFP process, and it is a digital imprint. It looks really nice. It looks really classy, and we would maintain the same plates, images approximating what we have now, but the detail is much more refined and much crisper. The bill that Senator Fillmore has authorizes the prison to engage in this process of completing the RFP, getting the equipment, putting it out at the prison. There would be some changes in the fee structure on plates because of the fact that you have to amortize the cost of the new equipment. But we're told that it keeps it at the top end of what our present range is now for the license plate fees. So that's the best report we have at this point from the information we have in talking both Department of Corrections, UCI, which is Utah Correction Industries, and the various parties who are engaging in that negotiation. Senator Fillmore is carrying that bill. If I might also address the issue of the license plates for just a minute, I want the record to be clear so that everybody knows where we actually stand on this issue. The lawyer and me just can't let this go. There was a 2017 United States Supreme Court case dealing with trademarks, and it was on whether or not you could license the trademark Slant Eyes for a rock band. The Supreme Court, in a 4-4 decision, because one of the justices had not yet taken his place, upheld the lower court that they could use that as a trademark, Slant Eyes. Lawyers are now concerned, generally, since that 2017 case, that may bleed over into license plates and other forms of government-protected speech. No one knows for sure yet of whether that actually will be extended. With the new justice, it may go 5-4 the other way. We just don't know. And so, since we don't know, Representative Thurston feels like it would be best to do a moratorium on issuance of new personalized plates, not the group license plates, as Scott has correctly identified, but the personalized plates, while we sort through this legal precedent to determine whether it is actually going to be expanded into other forms of government-protected speech, such as license plates. I thought that background would actually be helpful to understand why a moratorium is being proposed.
Thank you. So if I understand you correctly, in? Have they already taken it apart?
I think they're in the process of getting ready to dismantle it. They have not taken it down yet. They have not taken them down yet. But they're going to have to because they're relocating the prison, and soon they're going to have to dismantle the equipment. The last I heard, it was about 24 months out, but I think Senator Fillmore bill will actually kind of really formulate that, because we've indicated that we need to have as much shortest crossover time as possible, where we can start production at the new site before we end production at the old site. They've indicated they'll give us as much as they can, but they have not given us any promises of how much that crossover time period is going to be.
There's also another factor. The vendor or the manufacturers of these plates are really pushing their agenda forward, and we weren't able to get any dealer plates for a long time because they're switching over their material. And there was a problem getting the old equipment that Commissioner Valentine spoke of working with that new plate. So this is a whole, it's a monumental task that we're working on. The DMV's really done a good job with that. It's been a huge assignment.
If there's anything we can do to help with that, please call and let us know. Commissioner, could you also give us an update on the rule stuff that you and I discussed in the rule process?
Yeah, I knew you'd ask me that.
Sorry.
Those have not yet been formulated into changes yet. We adopted 7 new rules in this last meeting, with one that we have to get done because it's a restructuring within the commission, just in regards to our how we have a spokesperson for the commission. Those were ones that were very time sensitive. The other ones are in process, and I can't even tell you exactly where we're at with those.
But it is in process.
It is in process.
It's being worked on, and we're moving toward that direction.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I was a young man in my 20s, and I flew to Cleveland and bought a car, a Corvette, and I didn't have my plate. And I just cut a cardboard box and made DL and put the number on it, put on the back of my car, and drove. And I had a lady pull me over to make a citizen's arrest. She was a part-time judge, and she was going to take me to jail. I took her to dinner, and she let me go.
That's the stupid way to go.
And she was an older woman, but she was very nice. Okay, the next is COVID issues. I mean, this is what you were talking a little bit about.
A lot of them we've already talked about. I just want you to know that Scott Smith has worked extremely hard with us, having play in the sandbox, cordial visits with the DMV, and it's been very effective. The DMV is monumental. This is a dilemma for everybody right now. So I really appreciate the relationship that we have with the DMV and them understanding the industry's issues. Because to be frank with you, I think we've assisted dealers right now with titling over 200 vehicles to date. And there's no way these dealers would have got these titles because, as I said before, these DMVs are shut down or way behind. I mean, California basically won't even return our phone calls when we talk to him for an hour, and it's like ridiculous. So I mean, we're very lucky that we have leadership in place that logic will prevail and it's been successful. Our original plan was we were going to present to the board in January that we are taking over dismantling issues. As if you remember the last board meeting, Chris Mantis spoke emphatically about issues they're having. Well, Scott helped us. We have taken that over from the DMV. So MBD is now doing all the dismantling permits and junk permit processing for the dismantlers in the industry.
Licensees.
So just licensees. So, and that does affect new and used dealers per se, and it could, because you could do all those things. So those requests don't need to go to the DMV anymore. We can do them. We're working on expediting some things, but knowledge is power. We're only as good as the information that gets passed on to us. We are going to break the chains of the 30-day manual review and expedite this process significantly. And we've already done that. And we're going to, right now, I guess, myself, Larry, and Cole are the highest paid clerical staff in the state government, because we are doing it right now. We just posted the job today, and we're going to hire them, but we wanted to learn, and trust me, I'm not speaking for these two gentlemen, we learned a lot. And it's been education that you probably don't care about, but you should, because it's been interesting to know some of the things that we've uncovered and some of the mistakes and errors, even on our part, that we're going to fix. So it'll help the industry, and Chris Mattis is part of the industry, and I thought that it was worth looking into, and we've resolved it. So that's a positive thing moving forward. Everyone knows, so new versus used dealers, I know maybe some of you are scratching your heads, but right now there's a lot of new dealers that are used dealers right now, because inventory problems are so huge. With that being said, there's all kinds of, we're having lien holder problems to, you know, everyone, we're in a global world now as far as electronics goes, that you're going to have financial institutions that are in Indiana, and they're not going to release the title. The law says clear, it's 21 days to release it. They're not doing it. So we're helping with those things too. We perfectly know that if a TC-451 form's done, that's a complaint form. That is a legal binding document that if there is misconceptions or untruths on that, we can prosecute for violations. So that being said, we are assisting dealers with those problems like we've never done before. And we've been allowed to do that by Executive Director Scott Smith and Monty Roberts, the DMV, and we're really grateful for that. Audits are out right now. Please resolve them as quickly as possible. Our training that we did last year, we presented to the board that it wasn't as successful as we thought it was. We're seeing the fruits of our labor this year.
You're talking temporary permit audits.
Correct, yes, the temporary permit audits. So we've seen huge improvements of the temporary permit audits this year. So last year, I think a lot of it was as dealers just paid it and didn't really, they either thought, well, we'll do better next year, which really didn't need to be that the way that was, but it's paying off this year, like big time. So I'm very impressed with that and appreciate it. Well, the biggest thing, like Wayne talks about training and other issues, so a lot of it is understanding, like if you have an out-of-state sale, that's not a void. The clerical staff need to know what an out-of-state is and a void is. And then, you know, if you're doing big leasing company permits and they go out of state and they use them to go through the ports, which is required, that's not an unwind. That's not going to happen that way. We're not going to allow it. I just denied 300 of those to a dealer. That's not going to cut it. If they're used and that's used, that's not going to be unwind. I just did a USEGIS alert today through law enforcement, and you should be aware of this, and we've talked about this time and time again about talking about the specialty plates, so our dealer plates. The state of Washington is no longer allowing their transporter plates to be used outside of their geographic boundaries. So we are going to enforce Washington dealers using transporter plates at our auctions, and trust me, there's a lot of them. So I sent the bulletin out today. That came from Monty Roberts, and it came through the Washington DMV DPS director. Excuse me. That will be effective January 1 of this year. That is why we're ahead of the curve. If you remember, we spoke about getting you guys dealer plates and not having dealers misuse transporter plates. I really would recommend that we follow that same policy, and if we have to get a law change, do the same thing, because the transporter plate is the biggest abused plate in the state of Utah. We get countless calls from law enforcement on the weekends, on holidays, after hours, on transporter plate violations. And to be honest with you, it is the auto theft issue. Because transporter plates, be honest with yourself, are you accountable for all your transporter plates?
And there's no limit on them.
And we have made this into a not a dealer issue by us being... getting Commissioner Valentine worked with us in getting the rule change with, we allow 5 minimum instead of 2 before. We don't look at taking them away. We ask you what you need to do to sell more cars. There's all kinds of things that we need to know what we're up against, but transporter plates are not the answer to alleviate the lack of dealer plates. And as you travel to other states, I would imagine Washington just didn't invent this. This is happening and it's going to happen. So we have a lot of dealers. I get called from California all the time, get called from Oregon, and I've never ever got a call from Washington about our transporter plates. A transporter plate is used to and from the place of repair and from the auction. So if you go to California and buy a car at the auction, yes, in theory, you could take it, plate it, and drive it to Utah. That doesn't really happen very often.
Yeah, but on the reservation in Nevada,
yep,
you're going to get it impounded and the plate taken away.
So just be aware that I think that we probably should address this over time through Wayne or Craig, that if you have support from the industry, but as they're doing it, someone else is going to do it, and I think it's just a wise thing. It is 2021 now. We have internet sales issues that have gone untouched for a long time. We just got Carvana licensed, just barely. To be frank with you, if they had a good attorney, it would be difficult to make them be licensed. It would be. It's because it's all about site sell, where they're really initiating the sale from. Are our customers going to their website? It's no different than the RV business. You go to their general RV. I'm not picking on general RV. But you go to any RV dealership site, and they send you a link. You're not buying it through their website. And that's no different than what they're doing. They are licensed now in the state of Utah. They're licensed in the Linden location. They're also working right now getting licensed in Tooele. The sad thing is we had a certain big auction assisting them to be licensed at a location, which is inappropriate. And we found out about that from a complainant. So, you know, we can't have that. So I appreciate Wayne and Craig both for assisting us in getting Carvana on board, and they are licensed. It was official when? October.
October.
So, and it was not easy because we fought back and forth with their attorneys. I just said, fine, we're going to file charges on you. And we filed it, and then they came on board. So,
is that gentle persuasion?
Got to do our job.
The and number that, of dealer plates we're allowed to have is based on sales.
Correct.
Is that just a policy, or I mean, how does
it's a rule.
It's a rule. It's an administrative rule.
So this year we potentially could have a lot less sales.
We're not going to take any plates away based on that. We're going to go by it. We're going to go by history.
It's just when you said that, I was thinking, oh, maybe that.
No,
it's this historical average, yes, rather than last year's.
Okay.
And we will take into account a pandemic or any other reasonable explanation.
Well, I know you would be reasonable. I just wasn't sure
the rule.
If you had to do it, or, you know,
he has to do it. We have to go through administrative rule process.
41.3 clearly gives me some discretion, but I have bosses. And usually they are very understanding of the industry trends, and we have never not been able to get anything accomplished, ever.
I may well add to that, even on the other end of the scale, when we have newly licensed used car dealers who are trying to figure out how many plates they need and so forth, they've been bent over backwards to make sure, of course, that over, you know, you go a year and then have to look at the formula. Their commitment to helping business has been outstanding, not only for those new guys, but completely through our used car site, and I'm getting so many good responses from dealers saying, boy, it's sure nice to have an MBD that cares about us and will help us. So we, from our aspect, we congratulate MBD and all your team for all the great things you do.
Yeah, D&B is very much a part of that as well.
They are. I think, honestly, and I don't mean any disrespect for this, but we've embraced the D&B police vision that Scott Smith talked to me about when he became the director, and we believe that. So we have done that, and we will take any title case, any issue that you have, and we will look into it every time. That's
so
all. Yeah.
We had DMV issues and then MBED matters, and we've kind of hopped around and hit most of these, but there's the COVID issue, there's the new used dealership concerns, attorney matters, and audits. Have we missed anything in those categories? Because we popped around that anyone would like to address. Are we on top of all those issues? Any concerns?
Sorry, Mr. Chairman. Are we talking about issues with DMV?
Yes, we're trying to open up all those because we're kind of hit part of them. Go ahead.
There was one thing from the minutes last time. We were talking about mileage on titles, odometers, cars that were repossessed. Is this the right time to bring that up?
Sure.
Okay.
Please. Why don't you do that?
Okay, so if it's a buy here, pay here, and they're repossessing a vehicle, the DMV, if they don't get an odometer disclosure statement signed by the previous owner, the person that they took the car from, then they're marking the cars as not actual mileage. That's something that we wanted
yes,
to talk
about.
I will say something about it. I did. So after that was brought up before, I think this is one of those things that the intent of the law isn't covered by this rule, because three of the issues that I looked into personally, I called them, they refused to sign. Why would someone that had their car repossessed want to sign an odometer disclosure statement? They won't do it. And they say, you can't make me, and to be honest with you, I can't make them. So yeah, I support you 100% on your comments.
So what's the solution?
I think the best thing to do is to send me an email, and I will forward that to the right resources, and we will look into it. Whether or not we have to look into a rule change or a statute change, I think that can be accommodated. We are working on some other issues right now with dealer issues that could maybe be tag team into this. So it's probably a good time.
It's a serious matter.
It is.
When that happens, when you take a car and stamp it that way, then you're already in trouble on repossession, then you just destroy the value. So it really gets to be a double sword there. Really hurts.
Well, I think too that the industry needs to understand that I know you have incoming and outgoing requirements by the federal government as well as MBD. With that being said, I cannot tell you how many times we've issued violations because the dealer used the same odometer statement that was incoming as they did outgoing. So you had the car for 7 months. No one has a car for 7 months right now. But you have a car for 7 months and you didn't put any miles on it. That just came back and bit a big dealer on a case that we had no choice, issue a citation because they were threatening to sue. And we could not come up with a resolution. So sometimes we have to do our job, you know, and it comes down to if you read the statute on odometers, which is all part of what you're talking about, is it could be a treble damage lawsuit. So please, please, please be aware that there's both sides of that.
So you're saying when they sold the car, they didn't write the current mileage, they just used
correct.
The mileage from when they took it
correct.
In or bought it?
Correct. By rules, you're supposed to visually, physically inspect the odometer when it is sold.
Is somebody being lazy? The car's been out there and they just were lazy. Yeah. Well, are there any other issues that we need to discuss that are in the catch-all of DMV and MVED? If not, let me just make another statement. I have spoken privately to Scott and John about the appreciation that we have as a dealer body for Alan and his team and what they've done for us in, I'd say, troubled waters. I mean, in my little small community that I live in, which is getting to be a reasonably good-sized community, the word of mouth is everything. And when I'm talking to people that I go to church with or I go to see in town or I see shopping, Costco's a hangout in St. George.
Yes.
And we haven't been able to get them a title, and we haven't been able to do the things. And we've tried earnestly. I mean, it destroys my reputation and our reputation that we live by. And to have Alan that we can talk to and have his people go to bat for us means everything. Because we all want to do the right thing. I genuinely believe that. But our customers have got to be taken care of. And we've got to treat them with the respect they deserve. That's our responsibility. That's what keeps us in business. So when we're, and it goes beyond that. We talked about licensing. We talked about the COVID issues. We talked about audits. All these things we've been able to communicate on and find solutions for and work together. And I am so thankful that we have this. I'm here doing this. I got other things to do than drive up here today and drive home. But I'm here because I believe in the importance of this and what we're able to accomplish. And it's the best, and I've got gray hair. I've been here a long time. And I tell you, this is the best I have seen it. The best. And I remember some days when I shuddered. And this is just wonderful. So please know how much we appreciate you, gentlemen. And sometimes I don't know that you hear everything, you know, how it is. I don't hear everything at my dealership. I've got 800 employees running all over the place. And some of them may turn into form like that, just being lazy. And when they get their hands slapped, then we get to address that issue and learn from it. So we appreciate that. But there's a way to slap a hand. There's a way to talk to somebody. There's a way to work through the issues. And we're able to do that here in such a fine way that makes us all look hopefully more professional in what we how we want to be seen. So again, to Al, we appreciate so much. Are there any other items that need to be taken care of today? Sit on there, introduce me, but I think people know.
Electronic titling is coming closer. And I think a lot of the good things that we've done have been because of our preparation for electronic titling. We would not have been in a position to deal with these issues that we've had if it wasn't for the work that we did to be prepared for that. I mean that, seriously. It was like unbelievable how they kind of just, whoa, we can do this because we were already started doing that. The programming that we've done through Vaders. Vaders is like, we started in 2013, right? That's when the rollout was?
Mm-hmm.
And the Vaders program wasn't for Vaders and we were doing this by Carrier Pigeon, we'd be in big trouble. I mean, we're lucky that we have a great system. We really do have a great system. The system that we use for the tax commission is the best I've seen, and I travel around a lot, so we're lucky. Fast Enterprises has done a phenomenal job supporting the tax commission.
Quick follow-up question on that. So I assume you're referencing like a Utah electronic title. Do you see any states banding together for like a more national?
Some of them are doing it already. Like Washington, California, and Oregon are doing it right now.
They're linked together.
They are.
So would we anticipate linking with them?
I don't know right now. I'd be way premature to say that. However, I will say this. A lot of it's not the way that we thought it was. And Scott probably would know more than I do. It really comes down to a lot of it's in the lien holders court, and that's what we're discovering. So if they're on like the system, then it makes it easier. Then it's just about releasing the electronic documents to do it. And we're learning a lot of stuff, and I think we're on course.
Thank you, Ellen. Any other items? I guess we need to talk about when we're going to meet next.
I think we should meet before the session.
Session starts January 18th, day after Martin Luther King, 63.
Unless you don't believe it's necessary.
First part of January.
Okay. You want to try to talk about a date right now,
Probably if we coordinate with Wayne and Craig and see what works for everybody. We'll send out. We put it on our website, so we encourage visitors to be here, and we by statute are required to post it, and we do so. And I will provide both of you my cards, and you have my email addresses. If you have any questions, I will respond to you.
So are you thinking what date it starts?
18th, Tuesday the 18th, 17th is 17th. We can tentatively look at the 10th. We traditionally have done it on a Monday. It doesn't have to be on a Monday, but usually that's a good day for the tax commission. It seems like it's lower volume.
Starts on the 18th or the 17th?
Starts on the 17th is a holiday. By statute, it says it has to start on the third Monday after the first of the month. So unless it's a holiday, then that's why it's about Tuesday. So 17th is Martin Luther King Day, and that bumps it to the 18th.
And would that be a day we could meet?
Or what day?
On the 17th.
No, we will not be here.
Well, if you're going to meet on Monday, that's the 10th or the 3rd. You can't be here on the 10th. I can be here on the 10th.
You can remote in. We always have remote possibility.
I can remote in.
If we don't need to have a meeting, we don't need to have a meeting.
Well, should we tentatively plan for January 10th.
Yes.
Tentatively, is that all right?
And then see what's on the legislative.
Yeah, when we get closer to it, you think that's not necessary.
And just keep in mind, with the governor's instructions, if it's a snow day, we will cancel the board meeting.
Okay.
So I don't want people traveling to something like that. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but if that does, we would do that.
And there's no need to meet if there's no need to meet.
Correct.
I mean, so let's say tentatively the 10th, and okay. And then if we don't need to meet, we won't meet. Let's just take a look at where we are.
We can do virtual too. If people want to be set up for virtual, we can do virtual. It's Google Meets is what we use. Yes, sir.
Why don't we just say our auto expos are 14th through the 17th. We'll have a room there if you'd like to meet at that venue, at that location, in the afternoon of 14th, which is a Friday. Or we could accommodate that.
Would that be all right with everybody?
Yeah.
Would that work? Since we're having the auto expo and there'll be people.
What about all this equipment? Would that be difficult?
You just have to set up the Zoom now. Which they
we can do that on really core stuff. But the other thing is there won't be any snow on the 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th because that's all move-in and it's prohibited by law.
Or it's just snow. Let me just clarify.
You want to bet?
By lots of snow.
It can snow after and before.
I think that Commissioner Valentine's here, so he would correct me if I'm wrong. If it was chosen to be at that location, we would have to be here and we'd remote because it has to be recorded.
Yeah, one of us would have to be here. One of the board has to be here as an anchor for the meeting, but then the rest of the meeting could be held remotely.
So what's your thought?
The intent is whatever.
Is that too difficult?
Whatever works for.
You can come to car show for fun.
So that you know, that's not just a unique Utah Tax Commission rule. That is a state law for all administrative agencies. They must have a person in residence at the time of the meeting so the public can come in and speak at the meeting. And that's why the Administrative Procedures Act contains that provision.
So could we, am I out of order here to say we still have it on the 14th, have it here so we could be here and then be involved in the show?
Did you change from the 10th?
Yeah.
The 10th is better for us.
For those that
Monday
is better.
The 10th is better, but we will accommodate whatever is.
Is that just fine? Just come on over
to the car show later on Friday.
Yeah, I just don't want to come on trips. Okay, that's the best. We'll do it on the 10th.
We can look at the 14th. I'm not saying it's not a possibility, but I would prefer the 10th.
Okay. So tentatively, it's the 10th, and you'll get back with January 10th. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we adjourn the meeting.
Yeah, we have a second on that?
I'll second that.
Always appreciate that. Thank you. It was a good meeting. Appreciate it. And again, we're really pleased to have Scott from John. Thanks for, I know you're busy. Thanks for taking the time. It means a lot to have you here. And we appreciate our folks that came and visited. Alicia there. And thanks for coming, spending a minute with us.
John,
you still here, John? Okay, John, you don't get. Yeah, then you get.
Whatever you're requiring, get us some.
Whatever you're requiring, get us some. If you're buying something, include us in.
You don't want to know what I'm doing.
We'll do it well. Thank you.
Be safe. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.